Today is a lovely summer day. It is the 29th of July 2006. We are in the Martinez Center in Klint, 7 kilometers from Nykøbing, Sjælland, on the north coast of Zealand, 100 kilometers from Copenhagen, Denmark. My name is Ole Terkelsen, and I live in Copenhagen, Denmark. And tonight I'm going to give a lecture with the title The Cosmology, the Institute, and the Center. Yes, I would like to talk a little bit about Martinus Cosmology, the Martinus Institute, and the Martinus Center. And the basis of it all is Martinus' books. He has written, about 5,000 pages or 8,000 pages. And the basis of his works is that he has had his cosmic consciousness. When Martinus was 30 years old, he had a revelation. He was initiated, or he said that he got cosmic consciousness. And that was a new sense. It was a kind of new perception. He had a very strong intuition, so he could experience the laws of life. So Martinus, he is not a philosopher. He has not invented his cosmology. He has had the capacity to experience the laws of life and the principles of life directly. So he was quite humble and said, I have not invented this world picture. The world picture existed before I was born. The cosmical laws, the cosmical principles existed before I was born, but he just had the ability to experience them. He said that he had access to the ocean of knowledge in the universe. He could get all the knowledge he wanted, but he only got the knowledge that he asked for. When he was working with a spiritual problem, he could get the answer, but he didn't get any answers if he had not had a question. And when he was 30 years old, as I said, he got his cosmic consciousness, and then he worked for 60 years writing all his books. In the beginning, he called his works for Martinus Spiritual Science, and later on he called it Martinus Cosmology. And some 10 years or 5 years before he left the physical world, he decided to call his collected works for the Third Testament. And everything that Martinus has written, that is a gift to the world. It's a present, and it belongs to everybody. Martinus, he did not want that there should be some union. He didn't like memberships. There should be no sect about it. He talks about his writings as a spiritual science, and that means science cannot be put into a sect. If it's the question is about natural science, you can read the books in the libraries, and it's published all over the world. It's accessible for all, for everybody. There is no sect or any union. So that's maybe a little bit extraordinary in the spiritual area, that there should be no unions. Martinus, he had a certain mission, and that was to create this spiritual science. But it was also interesting that there were other things that also belonged to his mission. That was to make this institute and to make the center. In one way, it should have been enough that he had written his books, because then there was enough to study. Martinus talked about that in earlier times, there had been very highly developed people on this planet Earth, but they had to reincarnate on other planets because at that time there was no cosmical science, there was no spiritual science on the planet Earth. But after that he had finished his works, and he said, now it is possible to get cosmic consciousness on this planet, because he had materialized this cosmical science. He said that it was necessary to study these 7 volumes, the Liebes Buch, his main work, in order to get cosmic consciousness. He said that with these 7 volumes in Liebes Buch, it was enough. He has written enough for people to get cosmic consciousness. And then what he wrote after, that was sort of extra. He thinks that before you will experience cosmic science by your own senses, you will get a theoretical understanding about cosmic consciousness. So you could say in the first place, you will get theoretical cosmic consciousness. And then in the next place you will get it practical, or you will experience the cosmic consciousness by your own senses. So that was the main part of his teaching, to write this book and make it accessible to all people in the world. And in a way, that should have been enough. But he also felt that it belonged to his works to create a kind of organization. And in the first place, he was just writing as a private person. But in 1932, when the first volume of Livets Bog was published, he made this Martinus Institute. And there was also a council or a board. And then he was thinking about how to organize his work. And for many years he discussed with the board or the council how they should organize the work. And then we have a translator. He translates into Esperanto, Ibs Fleischer. He said that for 15 years he discussed with Martinus what kind of organization, world organization, there should be. And after 15 years Martinus came, "Now I have the solution. We shall have no world organization. The cosmology, it should be totally free." I'm very fond of the international language Esperanto. It was created by Zamenhof, and he said exactly the same thing as Martinus. Esperanto is a gift or present to mankind. You can use it if you want. And if you want to, you can make an Esperanto union, you can teach Esperanto, and if you don't want to, you don't have to do it. So in the same way, Martinus cosmology, that is free, that's released. Everybody here on this planet has the right to make study groups, has the right to teach you the cosmology, has the right to make Martinus centers. So I think it's very positive that it's so free, because there can be a lot of problems. I know, for example, in Copenhagen some several years ago, there was a lot of problems in Theosophical Society, because they have a world organization. And then they told from London or for India what they had to do in Denmark, and then they said, "No, we won't do it that way, we'll do it our own way," and then there was a lot of problems. So from Martinus' point of view, he could see he would avoid a lot of problems just giving it totally free. But he wanted to make an institute and a center where it was cultured in poor culture, where it was kept. Some think that it's a kind of sect, because here in Martinus' center we only teach Martinus cosmology. And some people can't understand, why don't we hear anything about anthroposophy or theosophy or New Age? But it's so simple that if you want to study German, you could go to the Goethe Institute and study German. If you want to study French, you could go to the Alliance Française. So, and if you want to dance, you could go to some kind of dancing school. I mean, you can just put the name of your school and that's what you are teaching. And it's not because Martinus is intolerant that he's not teaching other spiritual directions. It's just he wanted that there should be at least one place in the whole world where you only was teaching Martinus cosmology. And he wanted the institute to be as little as possible. He wanted that the institute should only do the things that other people couldn't do. In the first place, the institute had to press the book themselves, because there were so few people who bought the books. But he thought it was better letting book printing companies publish the books, because they can do that better than the institute. So the institute should only do the small things that others couldn't do. And the Martinus Institute has three purposes. They have three points with which the institute should work. And that is that the institute shall keep the work unchanged and see that it is translated in a good way to other languages. And then the institute should publish this magazine Cosmos in several languages. And thirdly, the Martinus Institute should give lectures and teach. In Copenhagen, that is the administration called the Martinus Institute. And here in Klint, near Nykøbing Sjælland, there is this summer school. And it should gradually turn into an international university working all year around. And there, the institute should teach the cosmology. And Martinus' vision was that the Institute should not send lecturers and missionaries around in the world. The general idea was that people should come here, could come here from all different countries around the world, and they should be able to stay here and study for 1 year or 2 years or several years, and then they could go back to their own countries and teach as much or as little as they wanted. So he wanted to make this into a national university. And he had some visions that it maybe, I don't know how long time, but I think he had a vision that this place will rest for 2,000 years. So will remain for 2,000 years. He said that this Martinez Center, it would grow and grow. It would turn into a city, even into a big city. Maybe a little bit like the campus, a university in the United States, because there is often a whole city where the teachers and the students and the university is in the same place, and sometimes that's almost a whole city. So Martinus also thought that this center would turn into such a whole city in the future, where people would come from the world. And Martinus, when he had his first lecture in the lecture hall down there in 1962, he said in his lecture, the lecture was called, the first lecture was called The Eyes of God. And he talked about the purpose of this Martinez Center. And he said that the purpose of the Martinez Center is to teach people to look upon life with God's eyes. And I think that was quite nice, interesting title. And then, of course, you would ask, how does God look on life? But that is already written in the Bible, because God created the world in 6 days. And there was no lack of self-confidence. God was quite satisfied with himself. He said on the seventh day, see, everything is very good. So that's the way that God is looking upon life. Everything is very good. And this is the purpose of Martinus Center, to teach people to look upon life with God's eyes. So we should gradually become able to see that everything is very good. And everything now is as perfect as it can be. But that does not mean that it cannot become better. But at the present time, it cannot be any better than it is. Martinus is always comparing with the fruit trees and the apples. To have a mature apple that tastes very good, it takes time. And in the meanwhile, there is some stages which is rather unpleasant. It is as acidic, and it doesn't taste good. But that doesn't mean that it is as perfect as it can be. Here in July, the apples are not ripe in Denmark, but it is as perfect as it can be for the moment being. But it does not mean that it will not become any better. And that's also with the development of the mankind. Mankind is also like an unripe fruit. It is also very acid, and sometimes with all this terrorism and wars, it looks as if everything is not so good. Martinus called his work for the Third Testament, and in the Third Testament, there is some topics or some themes that are treated, that are not treated in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there is a lot of different topics. But I would say there is three important things in the Third Testament that is not presented in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that is that Martinus explained the meaning of the darkness. Martinus has explained the meaning of the sufferings. Because earlier in many religions, people were thinking that God was the cause to all good things, and the devil was the cause to all bad things. So you divided the world in good things and in bad things. And there's so many religions that have two powers, the God and the devil, things that are good and what is bad. And of course, there is things that is very unpleasant, but from a cosmical point of view, they are good. All these unpleasant things are needed. And for that reason, Martinus, he had the two notions. He talked about the unpleasant good and the pleasant good. So that's the magic in the cosmology, how Martinus can explain that unpleasant things are good. if I should put it very shortly, there are two main arguments. One argument is that from the philosophical point of view, you need contrasts in order to be able to experience life. Without contrast, you cannot experience anything. You would not know that you were happy if you have not been unhappy. So you cannot experience anything if you have not experienced the contrast. You could not appreciate company if you have never experienced loneliness. And sometimes you can also appreciate loneliness because you have had too much family and too much company. So from the philosophical point of view, contrasts are necessary for having a life experience. And in a shorter view, the sufferings are developing us. Whenever you have experienced some sufferings, pains, problems, your feelings are developing. When you have felt the pain yourself, you get compassion. When you have felt the problems on your own body, you can feel with others. And that is also turning you into a humane being, and you are becoming a loving person, because you should not only look on the sufferings, but you should look upon the results of the sufferings. And the results of the sufferings, that is compassion and neighborly love. So from that point of view, Martinus can argue for the unpleasant things are good. And then there are the pleasant good, and that's easy for us to accept the pleasant good. But that's a very important thing in the cosmology, that Martinus has justified the darkness. He has justified the sufferings and explained that everything is very good. And that was sort of the purpose of the Martinus Center. So that would also really give the people a positive way of thinking when they can see that everything is very good. And Martinus shows that there is no devil, there is no evil powers. He has also this cosmic definition of God. God is everything that exists, and that everything that exists are God. So that's including everything. So there can only be one cause to all the things in the world from that point of view. Otherwise, divide the world into God and devil, and then there are the good powers and the bad powers, but there is only one power, and that's the power of the universe, and it is always good, but sometimes it's unpleasant to give out a teaching. But that's so important for people to know when they have got a lot of problems and sufferings. It's so important to know that there is a purpose, and it will give a result, and that we are transformed from egoistic animals into loving, perfect human beings. That was the one thing that was very important in Martinus' cosmology. And the second point that is very important, that is that Martinus has written a lot of analysis about the sexual transformation of human beings, that we are turning into double-pole beings. And I guess that is the biggest surprise in the Martinus' cosmology, because we know there have been men and women, females and males. There are men and women, female and males. But in the future, there shall not be any men and women, but there shall be double-pole beings. And I guess that's really a big surprise, that a new sex is coming up, the third sex, and that is a double-pole sex. So that's really a big surprise. I won't explain so much in this lecture, but I guess you will hear quite a lot about it during the week in the lectures and in the simple explanations. And thirdly, also, love to microcosmos is a very important area. You are talking so much about neighborly love. And then you can ask, who is my neighbor? And normally, people think that my neighbor, that is other human beings. But Martinus also explained that the animals are our neighbors. And he has written two important books about love to microcosmos. And that is The Ideal Food, where he's writing about vegetarianism, and also the karmic consequences and the consequences for the health when you're eating meat. And Martinus says that you are creating your karma or your fate in three important areas. And for the first, it is you create karma in your relationship with other human beings. And you create karma in your relationship with the animals. And there are some people, they are very nice to other people, and they are very nice to the animals. But anyway, they are sick and ill and have big problems. And that is because they have not been practicing neighborly love to the third very important area. And that is to practice love to the microcosmos. And he has written about that in the book The Ideal Food, and also in a book called Funeral or Sepulchris, but it has not been translated into English yet. But that was the first two books he wrote after Livets Bog 1. When he has published the first volume, he started to explain that about love to microcosmos. But it also includes that you have to treat your microcosmos well in two important areas. And one is in the physical way. He explained that the organs are individuals, they are living beings. All the cells are individual living beings. The molecules and the atoms are living beings. So when you are drinking alcohol or smoking tobacco, you are intoxicating these living beings. It's bad for people to work in a chemical industry where there's a lot of pollution, and that is not good for the health. Poor people who are forced to work in such a place. But in a way, we are forcing our lungs and cells to work in such a place when we are smoking ourselves or drinking alcohol or taking narcotic stuffs. So it's very important to have a healthy diet and to drink and eat in a healthy way, because that's also practicing neighborly love to the microcosmos. But also the thinking is very, very important, because our thoughts has a very big influence on the life of our micro individuals. And when we have a negative thinking, for example, bitterness, that is very bad for the health. But also if you get very angry, you are very aggressive, that's also very bad for the health of your own body, but also for the whole universe of living beings. So all kinds of negative thoughts, jealousy and anger and bitterness and whatever you can come up with, that is not practicing love to microcosmos. You are not practicing neighborly love to your microcosmos. So that means that this notion to practice neighborly love, Martinus has giving it a new definition that is very vast. So, and in a way, the planet Earth is a living being, the solar system is a living being, so also when you are polluting the nature, you are not practicing neighborly love, because you are intoxicating your macro individual, which is the planet Earth. So that is also some very important analysis. And Martinus in a lecture was talking about who will be the first people on this planet Earth to get these cosmic experiences and get cosmic glimpses, where you, by your own intuition, can experience the cosmic laws and the cosmical principle of lives. He said the first people who will be that will be people who are trying to live according to the laws of life. And he divided the people into three groups, but there is some people who will have a very tough karma, and that is people who are able to go into war and who can take revenge, and then they will have a very tough karma. But also people who don't want to go to war anymore, but if they are eating meat, they are also killing the animals. It's not good for the health, and maybe they're also drinking alcohol and smoking and so on. So they will also get a serious karma. But the people who are starting to become vegetarians, to live healthy, drink and eat healthy, and who are trying to practice neighborly love to other human beings, to the animals and to microcosmos, those beings will be the first to get these cosmic experiences. So it's worthwhile to start and to practice these things. Martinus said that it was not so important to read his theories. It was, in a way, worthless to study the works of Martinus if you would not put his analysis into practice. The most important thing that is to practice the analysis. Otherwise, it would only be a kind of philosophy that you could find it interesting, but you would also lose the interest, because then it would be just be an interesting theory, and eventually you would forget the interest. There was a woman who was very worried about, she was afraid that she would lose the interest in Martinus' analysis. And she asked Martinus, is there a risk that I can lose the interest in the cosmic analysis? And he said, as long as you are interested in practicing the analysis in everyday life, you cannot lose your interest in Martinus' cosmology. And so that was the purpose of the center, to teach these analyses in order to make people look upon life with God's eyes. Martinus was often asked, what is all your writings about, and what is all your work about, and how should he explain what it was all about? But in a lecture that he gave here in Clinton in 75, he said that the purpose of his work was to create a new world culture. To create a new world culture. So, I mean, that was quite a big thing. And Martinus also explained when he was initiated, when he has his big revelation, when he got his cosmic consciousness, he was initiated over 2 days, and the first day he had this Christ experience. And the other was he experienced the golden baptism of fire. So first there was the white baptism of fire, where he experienced the Christ. And the second one was when he experienced this golden aura. And in the first place, he sat down in a chair and he meditated on God. And very soon after, he saw a point, a lighting point in the distance. And then it came nearer and he saw it was a Christ figure. And the Christ figure came nearer and nearer. And at a certain point, this Christ figure became alive and it continued to approach. And then it went into the body of Martinus himself. And then he saw a light going out from his own body. And then he saw the planet Earth turning around in this light coming from himself, or this light coming from the Christ. And it was a very strange vision, wasn't it? But then he understood or figured out that actually that meant that he should become a world teacher, that he should teach Christianity for the whole world. And sometimes when you have to send a rocket out in space, you have to construct the rocket in 3 steps, step 1, step 2, step 3. And in the same way, to create the perfect man, it also takes 3 steps, which is the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Third Testament. And Jesus, he started the Christianism sort of 2,000 years ago, but people at that time, they was not so developed. They could not understand so much. He could not really make intellectual analysis. They had to have the knowledge served just as stories for children. He had to make these parables and explain it in a very symbolic way in order that people could understand them. But now, 2,000 years later, the people, they can understand much more. And Jesus also talked about his second coming, that he would send the Holy Spirit. And it would take up Jesus, what he had said, and give to mankind. And Martinus says the second coming of Christ, that Jesus, he stressed that it was a spirit that should come. And Martinus thinks that this spirit is spiritual science. So we should not concentrate so much on the person, but more on the teaching, the spiritual science. And in 2 years before he died, Martinus really stressed that that now he had the right or the power to say that his work, the Third Testament, that was the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. So that was a quite strong expression. And he felt, when he saw this planet Earth turning around in this white light, that his mission was to bring the Christianity to perfection. In Denmark, there are many people who think that the Christianism is finished. It's out. It's bankrupt. It's because there are so few people churches. So many people think that Christianity failed. But in Martinus' definition, Christianity is not if you are believing blindly or if you are a member of some union or some sect. Christianity is a way of living. If you are practicing the neighborly love just like Jesus did, then you are a Christian. So in a way, it doesn't matter if you are Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or Green Man from Mars or whoever. If you conduct in the same way as Christ did, then you are a Christian. And for that reason, Christianity has a big, big future, because everybody will become perfect human beings, perfect human being. For that reason, Christianity has a big future. So Martinus, he saw it as his mission to bring Christianity to its perfection. And then he would make a science that showed that everything that Jesus said was right. He has made a scientific Christianity, or an intellectualized Christianity. So it should, he could really argue, he think that Jesus spoke the truth, but he didn't argue for it. People believed that it was the truth because he could make miracles. But there was also a lady who said to Martinus in a tea party, if you can move this lamp with your thought power, I will believe in your writings. But that was the old world impulse, where you believed in authorities if they could make miracles. So Martinus, he refused to try to move the lamp with his thought power, because he was not allowed to do that things. He said that he had cosmic consciousness and he might have been able to do these things, but he was not allowed to do it. Providence did not allow him to use his psychic powers in any other area than writing cosmic analyses. So he was also clairvoyant. He could go out of his body and such things, but he felt that he was not allowed to do it. He had a special mission, and that was to write a spiritual science. He did not use his psychic abilities to find out what will happen with this man and what was he in previous lives and so on. He was not allowed to do that. He should concentrate on making this spiritual science. And of course Martinus, he thought when he had this initiation, how shall I, little man, be able to bring this intellectualized Christianity to the whole planet? So what I'm trying to come at, that is that it was not enough for Martinus only to write his books. He should also make some kind of organization that could propagate or initiate this new world culture. Of course, the kernel, the point in the new world culture is that you should behave like the Christ, and neighborly love is the key. That is the main point in the new world culture. Sometimes Martinus said that in the new world culture, you have to accept everything. And there is many people that say, I cannot tolerate that. I won't tolerate that. But you have to tolerate everything. And Martinus says, of course, because everything that happens is your fate, and you have to accept your fate. Whatever you think and what you're doing, your fate is as it is. But you have to learn to accept it without becoming irritated. There was a movie, The Passion of Jesus Christ, by Mel Gibson. It was a movie that showed that Jesus, he was tortured during 9 hours before he was killed. So that was a terrible. I didn't see the movie because it was so much violence, but it doesn't make, but it only makes the story better, because after these 9 hours of torture, Jesus, he could pray for those who tortured him and say, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. He did not become irritated. And in a way, this is the basis of a new world culture. You shall never become angry. You shall never become irritated. You shall always accept your fate. And Martinus says, you cannot just start a new world culture going out to say to people, you have to accept everything. So you have to argue, and in that way Martinus created this intellectualized Christianity. He argued why it's the only logical thing. And then Martinus, he would also create this institute and this center to help to create a new world culture. And that means there would be some co-workers, they would work into the institute, and then of course they should try to create the new world culture, to create this loving atmosphere of neighborly love in the collaboration inside the institute. So Martinus, he was very concerned, he thought a lot about how shall my work go on when I'm dead. And he spoke very much about a structure, the collaboration, his work, how should it continue, there must be some structure. And he was thinking very much about it, and he decided to write a book about it, the structure. But he would also write an introductory book with the title The Third Testament. So he did not really get the time to write this book about the structure. But then the Institute had a board or a council, and then all the meetings, the last 7 years, was recorded on a tape recorder. And then he asked the different members in the council to ask all kind of questions. If they could think of any problems that would come around, they should ask him, and he would try and explain the problems. So, and then all these quotations, or all what he said about it, was sorted out and put into a book. And it is the topic of the German group this year. They will study during these 2 weeks, the international weeks, they will study this structure of collaboration or co-working. I hope it also soon would appear in English. Because it's not only inspiring for organizations that they can see a good example of how you should work together. It's also very inspiring on the individual plane. But to put it very simple, Martinus decided that the structure after his death should be that there should be a council. There should be a board. And he said, after my death, the will of the council is my will. And he wanted all people who are working together here that they should accept and follow the decisions of the council. And he was very much concerned about that nobody should get too much power. So he did not want people to sit a lifetime in the board. He had educated the first members on the board, and he said they could sit in the board as long as they wanted, because they were especially educated by Martinus himself. But all other board members, they could only sit there for 5 years in the council, and then before they might have 2 years before to get trained to become a member. So all in all, you could be 7 years in the board, 2 years as a training and 5 years as a member. So he, but as there is no union, it's very difficult to have democracy, because who should have the right to vote? So he decided that the people in the council, they should select the new members themselves, and only select members that could go into the work in a harmonious way. And it's very interesting with Martinus' cosmology and his work. Everybody on the earth is welcome to take part in this work. And there is no initiation, and there is no kind of degrees. All the books and the writings are published, and everybody has a right to take part in the work. If you want to help and be a co-worker, everybody is welcome. But then you will start with some simple task, and then you will see how the result would be. And if you are able to solve this task in a harmonious way, you can continue as a co-worker. And Martinus, he was very concerned about that there should be no tensions, no quarrels, no discussions. And as the keynote of the universe is neighborly love, he wanted to create a structure that was based on neighborly love. So if a coworker becomes very irritated, and he says, this guy is so stupid, he's stopping the way I could do so many great things, but he's stopping me, and he gets angry with this person. So then Martinus thought, if you get angry and irritated, it's best that you're leaving. So, and he said that so often, you couldn't hardly believe it. So that means that you are not excluded by the Institute, but you are excluding yourself. If you are working in the frames of the Institute and you get irritated and angry, you are excluding yourself. So, and it's up to you, Martina says, if you are studying the analysis, and if you are interested in the analysis, you are sort of a member, then you are a co-worker. But if there are some years you say, I'm not interested in Martinus, and you put all the Martinus books in the basement, it doesn't matter, because you can decide yourself if you want to become a co-worker or not. You are totally free to help and not to help. You are totally free to get irritated or to become inspired. So in that way, it's so ingenious the way that Martinus has made the structure. Nobody is initiated and nobody is thrown out. It's up to you. And Martinus has written also a long article about criticism of his works. And he made it in 5 different groups. And he said there were an A criticism. And there was a B criticism, C, D, E criticism. But of all those who had a criticism of his works, only A there was an A criticism and B criticism. They knew about the cosmic analysis. And the first group, they were sort of able to look upon things with God's eyes. So they did not get angry. They could understand that if they had some problems, that was because that was their karma. And the intention was that you should learn something from the problems, that it was God's teaching, that it was God's will. And if you in all things can see that God is present, God is teaching, and you're helping God, then you can see that everything is very good. And a thing that is also very important, that is that you don't have to become impatient. Because if you know there is a providence, there is a God that is conducting the course, that is sort of controlling the development of the good cause, you don't have to be impatient. You know that when God or the Providence want things to be done, they will be done. But sometimes Martinus used an expression that there are co-workers who were too impatient. This is so ingenious, and the analysis is so ingenious, so everybody must know about it, and they want to go out and make big announcements and tell people who are not interested just to propagate the analysis, just as you are doing in normal companies to have a bigger profit. So you have to make advertisements and go out, and you can be too eager. Then Martinus used the expression that you were walking or going in front of the providence. And of course you will get very disappointed if you are trying to go in front of the providence. You will not succeed. But if you are patient, you can just wait. But this B criticism is characterized by people who are interested in Martinus analysis, but they are very ambitious and they are very impatient. And they want to play a big role. That means they want to become a famous lecturer or a famous group leader, or they want to have a big position, or they want to have a job and be well paid, and then they have personal interests. They are not doing the work for the mankind or the planet Earth or for God, but they also have some egoistic motives. They are doing it because they want to play a special role themselves. And then of course they are very often stopped. Their way are blocked. And then, of course, you can always see that there are some specific persons that are blocking the road for you, and then they are idiots, and you are starting to make a criticism. You get angry, you get irritated with them. And also, of course, people very often get irritated with the council that is the highest authority that can take all the... Martinus said, even if they are taking a wrong decision, you should obey their decision, because he did not want any quarrels and fight. You just have to accept it. And if they should make a wrong decision, that is sort of also the will of God, and it is planned in the life. Then one of the members in the council asked, yes, but what about if the very best lecturer, if there is a problem and he's not satisfied with the conditions? Then Martinus said, well, then you will have to go, but then we will lose our best lecturer. That doesn't matter. If it's a whole group of lecturers who are unsatisfied with the conditions, what then, Martinus? If they're unsatisfied, they will have to go. So he said that was more important to create a good atmosphere than to produce a result. In normal companies, you have to make a profit. And you have this man, we have to have this man. He gives a lot of problems, but he takes in a lot of money for the company, so we have to have him. But Martinus For the most important in other companies are to have a profit. But the most important thing for Martinus was there was a good atmosphere. And if, for example, in the council that they could not agree about it, Martinus said, it can wait. Yes, but then we will lose a lot of money. Martinus said, that doesn't matter. The most important thing is that we can agree on things and create a loving atmosphere. So that is so uncommon for normal people because they have to have a profit. They have to produce a result. But that was not the most important thing for Martinus. The most important thing was to create the good atmosphere because he knew and could understand if you create the right atmosphere, you will attract the right people. And that is more important than having a bad atmosphere and then maybe attracting ambitious people, and then you are creating a bad atmosphere and then you are sort of attracting the wrong people. And that would be a bigger worse than not producing a big result very, very, very quickly. So, and that was also what is so important in the new world culture, that you have to accept everything without becoming angry and irritated. But you would say there must be a limit, there must be a certain border. But Jesus showed how far you can go. Even if you are tortured to death, you should be able to say, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. So in that way, I think it's an ingenious structure made by Martinus. No membership, no initiations. It's open for everybody, and everybody can become a co-worker. It's just up to yourself. If you are loving the analysis, and if you want to help and give, and you are doing it for the mankind, for example, if you go to the kitchen and ask, can I peel the potatoes? They say, unfortunately, we've got enough people, so you don't have to. But then you could just go along the beach and enjoy the sun. I mean, that is no catastrophe. But if there is a person who comes and asks, can I give a lecture? If you then answer, no, we have got enough lecturers, we don't need your help. Then some persons are getting very angry because they don't have the right to give the lecture. But I mean, you don't have to become angry because you cannot have the right to peel the potatoes. If the help is not needed, you should not be angry about it. And that's also the same, for example, in the teaching. If it's not needed, you should not be again angry about it. But if you turn angry, it just shows that it's for my own sake. It's because I want to play a role myself. But it's an ingenious structure. Each time when you get unsatisfied and angry, it's best that you're leaving. Of course, there can be some problems if you are on a salary in the institute, because the institute is working with volunteers. And of course, if you're a volunteer, you should only volunteer if you are happy about helping. And if you're not happy about helping any longer, you should not volunteer anymore. And even if there was an important work that wouldn't be done, it was better that an unsatisfied person would leave it, because otherwise you cannot create this new world culture. And Martinus has foreseen that gradually there will be a very nice atmosphere in the institute and here at the center, and people would feel, oh, this is like a paradise, it's so wonderful to be here. Some 5-10 years ago, there was a lot of Russian guests in the center, and many of them spoke Esperanto. And I got so many nice letters from them. And they wrote, thank you for 2 weeks in paradise. We did not see anybody drink alcohol. We did not see any people smoke. We did not hear anybody shouting on each other. We didn't hear any fights or quarrels. All people were nice and polite, and the sun was shining all the time. But it was quite interesting to have this, that they really felt that they had so many problems in Russia and it was such a big misery. But when they came here, they really felt they had come to a paradise. And that is sort of the purpose of the collaboration, that we should make this atmosphere. And in a way, this center is not the center of the institute. It's the center of the mankind. It's your center. So it's also up to you to create this atmosphere in the center that you want. That's also sort of a good idea. It's in a way, it's not the responsibility of the institute, not alone. It's also the responsibility of all the guests to create this. And Martinus has foreseen that there would also come people from different companies and so on. When they came here in the center, they would feel, oh, what a nice atmosphere. It's nice to be here. It's so I'm so happy in helping here, that would create such an atmosphere that they would want that they could have the same atmosphere in their working place. And then Martinus said that his structure of collaboration, that might also become inspiring for different companies, but in a way it's pure Christianism. It's just the way that Jesus behaved and how he conducted, but he has explained it in a more logical way. So Martinus would not only theoretically explain how people should explain, it would also be very important to create a good example. Martinus has talked about three things that are very important in evolution. The most important thing in the evolution is self-experience. You have to experience your karma. When you have felt all the problems, the illness and everything on your own body, you develop your feelings and your compassion and you become a more loving person. That is the most important. That's my figure. I would say 90% of the evolution is based on experience of my own karma. But then the next factor that is very important, that is the spiritual science. That is that there is a teaching that is showing you in a logical way how you should behave. And that is very important. And Martinus has written his work to contribute to the creation of a new world culture. So that is also very important, to become this theoretical cosmic consciousness and get a theoretical understanding. That might be 9%, because then there's only 1% left. And that is to bring a good example. Sometimes in the study groups I ask people why they're coming here. And sometimes you hear this story that there's a woman who says, there was a woman on our office, and I found that she was so loving and so kind, and she was vegetarian and so on, so someday I couldn't help asking her, why are you like this? Why are you a vegetarian? Why do you behave in this way? And then she started to tell about Martinus. And I think that's the best advertisement you could give for the cosmic analysis, that you are a good example, that you are practicing the analysis. And that is sort of also the purpose of this center here, and also the collaboration in the institute, that people should be attracted because there is such a nice atmosphere and that you are bringing such a good example. But of course, I think that the cosmology is a perfect teaching, but the people who are interested in the teaching are not perfect. No of us are perfect. So that means that there will come a lot of problems. But Martino thought that all problems should theoretically be solved using this structure of collaboration. He has written so many pages about pages with quotations, so you can find out how to solve the problems in order to create this loving atmosphere. So I hope that you will enjoy your next 2 weeks here in the center, and that we together can contribute to this new world culture, creating a nice atmosphere in the center. Thank you for your interest.